Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, wherein we answer your questions. You're invited to check in with me by calling 877-726-8255. That's a lot of numbers, so I'll repeat 877-726-TALK. And you can come directly into the doctor's office and pose your question. We got lots to talk about, though, this hour. So let's begin with this. And this has been created kind of a splash. Higher coffee consumption associated with lower risk of early death. Now, you might be saying, well, I don't drink much coffee, but if I start drinking lots of coffee, maybe, just maybe, I can extend my life. But let's drill down and see what this study is all about. It's from the European Society of Cardiology. And what they did is they looked at nearly 20,000 participants, and they measured their coffee consumption, and then they looked at whether they were going to live or die during a 10-year period of the nearly 20,000 participants. 337 participants died. The researchers found that participants who consumed at least 4 cups of coffee per day had, get this, a 64% lower risk of all-cause mortality. That's death from any cause, whether it be cancer, whether it be heart disease, than those who never or almost never consumed coffee. So for each additional 2 cups of coffee per day consumed, there was a 22% lower risk of all-cause mortality. So you might think, well, this is a veritable anti-aging drug. And if this were invented by a pharmaceutical company, they could get a patent on it. They would sell billions of dollars of coffee to help extend life because it is a panacea. It is a cure-all. It reduces risk of death from all causes. But let's take a look at what the study is actually saying. The purpose of this study, they say, was to examine the association between coffee consumption and the risk of dying in a middle-aged Mediterranean population. Okay, so in the study, they found a, quote, inverse association. Once again, that word pops up, association between drinking coffee and the risk of all-cause mortality, particularly in people age 45 years and above. So there's a rule of science that association is not necessarily causation. So the fact that a lot of older people who survive longer and are free of disease are drinking a lot of coffee does not mean that everyone should start drinking a lot of coffee. Because, well, they'd have to do a study. And it would be a long study. It would have to be a study that would last 10 years or more, in which, in a double-blind placebo fashion, they gave a lot of coffee to half of the study group and no coffee to the other half of the study group, and then decided if one group or another lived longer. So how about this proposition? If you can run an 8-minute mile, you'll live longer. Running an 8-minute mile is stressful, and it's a sign of robust health if you are, say, 55 and you can run an 8-minute mile. Now, I don't know how many of you drink a lot of coffee, but drinking 4 cups or more of coffee per day is a bit of a stress on the body. If you are sick, weak, or feeble, you can't tolerate drinking that much coffee. Hence, you may be sicker. You might be more likely to pass away in the next 10 years by virtue of the fact that you can't tolerate drinking that much coffee. So there's that that puts a monkey wrench in this study and suggests that if you're not drinking coffee now because you can't stand it or can't handle it, that maybe you should force yourself to drink 4, 5, 6 cups of coffee a day in an effort to boost your longevity. But here's another part of the story. Coffee contains beneficial polyphenols, just like red wine and chocolate, among them chlorogenic acid and other substances that are perhaps yet to be characterized and identified. These beneficial polyphenols lend a flavor and taste and dark color to coffee, and they are potent antioxidants. And maybe that's why people can live longer when they consume a fair amount of coffee. I'm hoping that some of those benefits can be accrued by drinking decaf, because during this very show, I keep a pot of decaf brewing, and between commercial breaks, I run over to the coffee pot and fill up my coffee mug with decaf coffee, because if I was drinking caffeine, I'd really be running over at the mouth. I'd sound like I was on speed, because I'm sensitive to the effects of that much caffeine. And I'm hoping that, minus the caffeine, the decaf coffee still packs an antioxidant punch in terms of those beneficial polyphenols. The other thing about coffee, and here comes the caffeine part, is that genetic tests can determine whether you are more or less tolerant to caffeine. In fact, if you do a 23andMe saliva test, they'll send you a kit, and you can do the test. And they'll tell you a lot about your ancestry. They'll tell you about your genetics. They'll also tell you whether you are tolerant or intolerant to coffee. And that's based on a certain gene that helps you more rapidly, or alternatively more slowly, detoxify caffeine. If you are a rapid metabolizer of caffeine, you can drink a lot of coffee with impunity. You can have a couple of cups of coffee after dinner and still manage to hit the pillow and go right to sleep. If I were to do that, and I always check or double check with a waiter, you know, they're walking around with coffee, I want to refill my mug, I say, is that really decaf? Because if not, I'm going to have a bad night. Your detox capability is reflected by your genes, and a way of determining your detox capability is, are you resilient in the face of coffee, or do you have prolonged side effects? Yeah, everybody gets a little bit of a coffee buzz, but some people can drink tons of coffee, have minimal effects, and what that means is they can also detoxify drugs and environmental toxins more rapidly. It has to do with the liver. These detoxification enzymes, like those that are located in cytochrome P450, help you detoxify environmental pollutants. And therefore, maybe, just maybe, the people who drink a lot of coffee, they're people who tolerate a lot of coffee, but they're people who also tolerate lots of environmental pollution and are able to more rapidly metabolize and rid their bodies of the toxic burden that we're all exposed to in air, water, and food. And maybe that's part of the benefit of the coffee. The coffee's not doing the job. The coffee is merely a signature for the fact that they are rapid detoxifiers, able to tolerate a lot of coffee, and they're the resistant rats in our environment who don't succumb to the Subway poison that they put down to kill off the rats. 877-726-8255 is our number. And we're taking your phone calls this hour. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest-fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And our number 877-726-TALK. But there's another way. In fact, there are two additional ways to get questions to us here at Intelligent Medicine. One is via email. You can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. And we'll use those questions as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla podcast. It's a podcast where we answer listener questions sent to us via email. And we do that every week. And you can listen to the answers by going to drhoffman.com and listening to the podcast. Or you can subscribe to the podcasts via Stitcher or via iTunes, your whatever your favorite podcast delivery service is. And another way that you can get questions to us is if you go to drhoffman.com using your Mac or your PC. And on the screen, on the right, you'll see a little box. If you click on the box, it'll prompt you to record a question, as our next caller is about to do. And I have a little trouble pronouncing his name. I think it's something like Muralidhar. And because the internet is international, he might be recording a question from another country. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hello. Can we have niacin along with calcium and magnesium supplement? Means I am having niacin supplement separately, 100 milligram. And can I have along with my regular calcium and magnesium? I felt that niacin can improve the sleeping problem. So if I have along with my calcium and magnesium, whether it will improve my sleeping issue? Thanks.
Okay. So, all right, that question, let me see if I can repeat the question. The question is, if this listener combines magnesium with niacin, vitamin B3, can that improve sleep quality? And so the answer is pretty clear when it comes to magnesium. Magnesium actually has relaxing and sedating properties. In fact, there's a product that's pretty popular here in the U.S. It's called Calms, C-A-L-M-S. And it's a powdered magnesium supplement that's used to help relax you near bedtime. And in fact, magnesium is a great supportive treatment for anxiety. Many patients who are anxious, anxiety itself depletes magnesium because adrenaline and cortisol cause magnesium to leak from the body. And magnesium needs to be replaced in patients with anxiety. And plus, it has it sort of sedates the nerves. When it comes to niacin, If you take high-dose niacin, well, you may get a little bit of a wake-up call because it can cause flushing. But some studies suggest that niacin does indeed have relaxing properties. It has something to do with tryptophan metabolism. And tryptophan, we know, is a building block for serotonin, which is one of the brain's feel-good neurotransmitters. So perhaps niacin could be a useful adjunct to the magnesium that you take near bedtime. And, of course, there are other things. There's valerian, there's passion flower, there's melatonin. These are among the things that can be helpful if you're trying to get a better night's sleep. So one of the things that's been noted about niacin, though, is niacin, or vitamin B3, tends to increase the vividness of dreams. And there's some people who like to recall their dreams. In fact, they sometimes wake themselves up, have a little notebook by the bedside, and try to write down their dreams before they forget them. And then they engage in dream interpretation in order to better probe their psyches. And I've heard that niacin can be a good adjunct to that. It makes your dreams more technicolor and vivid and more easy to remember. So there you go. All right. Thanks for that question. And here's an item. It's a new killer app for your cell phone. Your smartphone could tell you if you have a deadly cancer. How does that work? Well, researchers at the University of Washington have come up with this. A new app could lead to earlier detection of pancreatic cancer simply by snapping a smartphone selfie. It's called Billy Screen. And it estimates bilirubin levels in a person's blood. You know, how does it do that? By taking a picture. Well, when you have high levels of bilirubin, your sclera, the whites of your eyes, turn yellow. But that may be barely discernible to you if you look in a mirror. The smartphone camera harnesses vision algorithms and machine learning tools to detect increased bilirubin levels in a person's sclera, or the white part of the eye. And it's pretty accurate. It's about 90% accurate compared to blood tests. And it may help individuals determine on an early basis if they have elevated bilirubin. Of course, pancreatic cancer is not the only reason you might have an elevated bilirubin. It could be due to a gallstone, something less dangerous. But perhaps this could provide us with an easy way to screen for deadly cancers. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number for questions. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you on this Labor Day weekend. And Kristen from New Jersey is taking advantage of our office hours on a holiday weekend. How are you doing, Kristen?
I'm good, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure. What's going on?
So, my father has congestive heart failure, and I have had him on Dr. Sinatra's protocol for congestive heart failure for 2 years now, and my father's always taking supplements, taking them his entire life. And I have family members who are concerned because of his altered kidney function that the supplements may be too hard on his kidneys. And I would just love for you to, love to hear your thoughts on this and sort of reassure them that the supplement should be safe.
Okay.
So how much will it give me if I reassure you? Because there's a $25 surcharge for reassurance.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. So first of all, let's tell our listeners what this is all about, because Dr. Steven Sinatra, America's foremost integrative cardiologist, came up with five components to a supportive program for congestive heart failure, and they really make sense. And those are carnitine, as you well know, magnesium, fish oil, ribose, mm-hmm. and coenzyme Q10, or better yet, ubiquinol. And so your dad has taken all of those things?
Correct.
Okay. So how's he doing? Is he? Are we holding the line, or is he
Unfortunately, he just had the mitral clip procedure, and after that, he sort of had he spiraled downward. Mm-hmm. So he is progressively getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
But he is consistent about taking his supplements. And
okay.
he did feel, when I started on them on him, that he felt a difference. He felt an improvement.
Okay. So
initially.
Well, let's look at each of these components, and let's see if they can damage kidney function. Now, first of all, how bad is his kidney function? What's his what's creatinine, which is a good measure of kidney function?
Oh, goodness. You know what? I know his baseline is below normal. I don't actually have the numbers.
Above normal would be bad. Like a high creatinine, two or three would be a sign of pretty bad kidney failure. Yeah.
He's in the 1.3, 1.4.
Well, that's not bad. That's not too terrible. So what can be a limiting factor when you have real chronic renal failure, which would be a creatinine, 2, 2.5 or 3 or even 4, you have to be a little careful about magnesium because it can overaccumulate. Mostly, people can consume tons of magnesium and no problem. But in patients who have renal failure, the magnesium can accumulate to dangerous levels. Probably not a problem in this case. So the carnitine, okay, no problem. In fact, beneficial for patients with dialysis patients. Patients who have kidney transplants, very safe. Patients with renal failure, not a problem. Same thing with fish oil. Very beneficial and not a burden on the kidneys. The D-ribose, not a problem because it's a sugar that's metabolized by the body and it's not going to be excreted through the kidneys or it will burden the kidneys. And same thing with coenzyme Q10. And oh, by the way, how much ubiquinol or CoQ10 do you have him on?
He's on the highest dose that Dr. Sinatra recommends. Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Okay, so you can go real high on the ubiquinol. You can go to 800, 1,000, 1,200. Well, that's a super high dose, and it's expensive. But in my experience, patients with bad congestive heart failure might need that. Now, there's a possibility that because his valve continues to leak, that there's no amount of nutrients that are going to make a difference. The problem is not with the strength of his heartbeat. The problem is with the leakiness of the valve. And
right.
So there's no supplement that's going to suddenly cause his valve to regrow properly. That's a plumbing problem, and it's not a matter of the strength of the heart muscle or the energy production of the mitochondria. This whole program is designed to stoke the mitochondria that are working overtime to pump the blood. Now, another component that would be safe to add and that might add some additional benefit is a new nutrient that we've been talking about a lot here, which is nicotinamide riboside. The brand name is Niacel, and I might recommend 250 milligrams two or three times daily to see if that might add a little bit of an edge to the mitochondrial energy production.
Okay, we take often that talk, as well.
Oh, yeah, it's a good thing to take. So the other thing that is helpful here and can help some patients with mitochondrial failure is NT Factor. It's one of our good sponsors here. We just did an announcement about that product here on this program. NT Factor also has the ability to repair aged and damaged mitochondria. So that might be part of the program, and also innocuous for kidney function.
So, yeah, you know, I know that you're up against it because you're interested in nutrition and you want Dad to get the best supplements possible, but the conventional doctors are saying, why in the heck is he taking all that stuff? It might be dangerous. But you should stick to your guns. It's safe. And although it's not dramatically turning a situation around, who knows how bad his congestive heart failure might be without the support of these nutrients. The fault is not with the supplements. The fault may be with the inability of the surgery to completely repair his heart pump problems. That sometimes happens.
Great. Thank you so much. I will share this with my family.
Sure. Thank you for calling, and all the best to you. And you know, let me just share that little anecdote. You know, this is not the pet show, and I'm not a veterinarian, but I sometimes recall this anecdote, which shows the power of coenzyme Q10 for congestive heart failure. I had a friend who had a King Charles Spaniel, and those of you who are dog fanciers, you may know that certain breeds are predisposed to congenital malformations and disorders. That, you know, unfortunately, we breed dogs for their looks and certain characteristics, but not necessarily for health and robustness. And King Charles Spaniels, for some reason, are prone to congestive heart failure. And so, you know, I was visiting this guy, and his dog looked kind of poopy. And I said, what's the matter with him? And he said, well, looks like he's going to die. He's only 8 years old, but he's got that congenital malformation of his heart, and he's dragging around, and he's not going to last very long. We'll probably have to euthanize him in the next couple of months. And I said, well, hey, why don't you try some coenzyme Q10? And the dog was a little dog, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. And I said, use 30 milligrams of CoQ10. You know, I kind of scaled it down for what we'd give a human. And I said, try it. And then, you know, I didn't see him for a while. I went back to see him in about 6 months. And I said, looks like you got a new dog. I said, no, that's the same dog. Whatever you gave him, he just really perked up. He's jumping all around with a younger dog. And I said, yeah, okay, I guess that works. Coenzyme Q10 for congestive heart failure. And that was no placebo effect because we didn't tell the dog that it was going to work. So there you have it. All right, this item, it's actually a letter. There are no more. Snail mail is a thing of the past. This is an email from Catherine. Subject, radio advice, feedback, and thanks. And I want to share this with you because it's very instructive. Catherine writes, Dear Dr. Hoffman, over 3 years ago, I called your radio show to get advice regarding my bones. I'd had osteopenia for many years, possibly due to an eating disorder in my late teens, and it was getting worse. You recommended Ostera, Osteoprev, and strontium. I just got the results from my last DEXA scan. It could hardly wait to share the results with you. As you can see, the improvement was significant. And I'll share this with the audience in a moment because we have an attachment, Catherine's bone density and DEXA scan. As you can see, the improvement was significant. When my physician husband, a man not inclined to overstatement, saw this, he said, this is remarkable. Dr. Pennington, who runs the center, was also very surprised and impressed. In her experience, this just doesn't happen. So she is looking into these supplements for other patients. And so here are the results. What this shows is that this patient was beginning to have osteopenia, moving towards osteoporosis. So 3 years ago, her DEXA T-score was minus 2.4. If you go below minus 2.5, you're osteoporotic. So she's on the verge of osteoporosis. In just 3 years, she went from minus 2.4 to minus 2.1, and now to a minus 1.7, which means that in 2017, her bone density is approximately the same as it was 20 years ago, because in 1998, it was a minus 1.6, and now in 2017, it's minus 1.7, almost the identical score that she had nearly 20 years ago. And that is very good indeed. And she writes, many, many thanks for your advice and all the good you do for so many of us. I never dreamed I'd be able to gain the 1/2 inch in height that I'd lost and have stronger bones. I am so grateful. Sincerely, Catherine. We thank you very much, Catherine, for sharing that with me and with our listeners, and hope it inspires listeners to seek out natural, non-toxic approaches to osteoporosis, which really work. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, I invite you to call us, 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our Intelligent Medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
The best things in life are free. Free of gluten, dairy, allergens, and GMOs. And that's important in today's toxic world. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. Ohira's Probiotics has prided itself on purity that creates this certified vegetarian whole food supplement. The nourishing prebiotic culture medium in Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is comprised exclusively of pure spring water, fruits, wild vegetables, mushrooms, and seaweed. This carefully balanced and perfectly blended composition goes through a 3-year fermentation process, allowing it to maximize the natural health-promoting properties of each restorative ingredient. The final result? Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is an organic, living fusion that merges and encourages the evolution of your own exclusive internal bacteria, helping to support a healthy digestive system. Discover the Dr. Ohira difference and live free. Look for Dr. Ohira's Probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And now in the remaining part of the show, let's do a little bit of a lightning round on some of the important nutrition stories of the week. Let's see how many of them we can cram into the time allotted. Headline, Carb Intake Sperm Count Association Explored. Researchers at the American Society for Reproductive Medicine annual meeting report that as carbohydrate intake and dietary glycemic load increase, sperm concentration decreases. The more carbs you eat, the more likely it is that you will have a low sperm count. And this is particularly germane since low sperm counts are becoming more and more common in the Western world. Whether it's pollution or diet is unclear, but the male sperm is becoming an endangered species, and there may be a dietary correlation. For seniors, the suggestion is eat more protein. We used to say seniors should reduce their protein intake because they don't need as much as youngsters or muscular middle-aged individuals. But it turns out that you may need more protein when you're older, and the timing of your protein intake is important. Eating protein 3 times a day could make our seniors stronger. Researchers at McGill University in Quebec link protein distribution to greater mass and muscle strength in the elderly. They say that if you're going to have your protein not just in one big meal, don't just put the feed bag on at dinner time, but have protein for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at least 3 times a day. And one of the essential amino acids known for protein renewal is leucine, spelled L-E-U-C-I-N-E. And protein supplements containing leucine have been shown to fend off sarcopenia, which is the inevitable loss of muscle mass that occurs with aging. How about this one? Common antiseptic ingredients de-energize cells and impair hormone response. Uh-oh, what's that about? They say that some disinfectants inhibit cell energy and alter reproduction.
Well, I don't usually eat or drink disinfectants, or do I? There are what are called quaternary ammonium compounds, QUATs for short, that are used as antimicrobial agents in common household products. Products such as antiseptics and toothpaste, mouthwashes, breath lozenges, nasal sprays, eye drops, even shampoos, lotions, intravaginal spermicidal sponges, and household cleaners, to name but a few. These QUATs used in antimicrobial products inhibit the mitochondria, which are the powerhouses of the cell. You know, there's a theory that mitochondria are actually their primitive ancestor was bacteria, which combined billions of years ago with one-celled organisms in kind of a cooperative effort to produce a more sophisticated one-celled organism, where these bacteria ended up sheltering themselves within the other one-celled organisms, and as a trade-off, they became the energy factories for those cells. And so it makes sense that if you're killing bacteria, you may be killing off your mitochondria, and thus disrupting energy production and a variety of cell functions through the use of these quaternary ammonium compounds. So be on the lookout for those in your household products, especially things that you put in your mouth and swallow. Ulcerative colitis is on the rise. Well, I see a lot of ulcerative colitis in my practice. I sort of specialize in working with patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, and there's so many young people, children, teenagers and adolescents who show up these days suffering from ulcerative colitis. And what's going on here? Is it just that we're noticing it more? Well, here's an amazing study out of Sweden. Ulcerative colitis incidence has risen fivefold, and the prevalence has risen tenfold since just the mid-1960s. They did a study over four decades, lasting from 1963 to 2010, and they found that the incidence of ulcerative colitis skyrocketed. And this is something that clearly has to do with our diets and our environment and perhaps some of the products that we use for, say, in toothpaste or personal hygiene products. These may dramatically increase the risk for ulcerative colitis. Think of artificial sweeteners and some of the chemicals that we use in processed foods. These may be damaging to the microbiome, which has a lot to do with the risk for ulcerative colitis. Interesting study. And this one, clinical trial shows wobenzyme has a significant effect on exercise-induced fatigue and muscle soreness. If you're an athlete, you know about DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. That may cause you to be sidelined for a day or two after strenuous exercise. Well, you can accelerate recovery, according to this study, by taking wobenzyme. It's enzymes, proteolytic enzymes, that actually digest away some of the waste products that are produced in the wake of strenuous exercise. So wobenzyme for inflammation, we use it for injuries. If you sprain your ankle or if you have a sore knee, take proteolytic enzymes. But just for routine muscle soreness, delayed onset muscle soreness, DOMS, wobenzyme can be beneficial. All right, well, that's all the time we have this holiday weekend. Have yourselves a great Labor Day. Be safe and healthy. And make sure you check out drhoffman.com for more intelligent medicine resources. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe to our newsletter. Download our podcasts. And enjoy your weekend.